Welcome to the Bill and Rookie podcast for February 3rd, 2021, and all week long, in honor of Super Bowl week, we've been kind of reliving our Super Bowl experience with the Packers at Super Bowl 45, which was 10 years ago this week. In fact, I just saw a photo, looking through some old photos and looked at a picture that I took from the balcony of our hotel room of the stadium, of AT&T Stadium, from our vantage point. There's ice on the roof and everything. It's just like a great day. It's like, okay, welcome to Dallas. Welcome to North Texas. But, you know, yeah, it is what it is. At least the game was indoors.
Right.
But
not only that, we could see the Texas Rangers Stadium from our hotel, too, right?
Yeah.
The ballpark at Arlington.
Exactly. It was right across the street.
Yeah.
But that's gone now, too.
It is.
Well, I think it's still there, but they're not going to use it, obviously, if they have a new ballpark. So we've been going kind of through day by day what our week was like. And so today's Wednesday. So Wednesday was the day that I traveled while I was getting ready to come join you in Dallas. What was happening in Dallas on that Wednesday?
Well, that's funny that you asked. Wednesday was just a media day because, you know, radio road day. The big day was media day on Tuesday, and then you're really kind of off limits. You know, there were pool reporters and stuff like that. So you just did the show and you did some other things outside of the morning show and fan line. But here's one of my favorite memories from being on Radio Row. And I don't know the name of the supermodel. I mean, this is 10 years ago. So, you know, people come around and they come to your booth, and a lot of people you have to line up and get them in time slots. Some of their bookers will come around days in advance, you know, and maybe on a Tuesday to book somebody for Thursday or what have you. So you have to keep a little pad of who you've got coming up at what time on the shows. And so I remember somebody coming over and realizing that I was from Green Bay. And it was the booker slash husband of this supermodel. And don't ask me the supermodel. I don't even recall. Maybe I can post a picture of her and somebody will be able to tell us who it was. So this guy comes over and says, so-and-so would like to come on your show. She's a huge Green Bay Packers fan. And apparently she was friends with a couple of the players on the team, maybe even Aaron Rodgers. And I'm like, okay, no problem. Then I had to scramble to Google who she was. Because I had no idea. I had no idea who she was.
Yeah.
She was a supermodel. And so I had to quickly Google. She was right there. She was like coming over in like a matter of moments. So I quickly Googled who she was, and then the interview went fine. But later that day, in talking with Mrs. Rookie, Mrs. Rookie calls me and to tell me that Jackson split open his chin at daycare and was at the hospital getting stitches.
Oh.
Meanwhile, the whole time I'm like, I was talking to supermodel so-and-so, and this is who else came by. And she's like, did you hear what I said? Your son had to go to the hospital to get stitches. Oh, yeah. Is he okay? So the supermodel came by. And Mrs. Rookie was unimpressed.
That's funny. Was that the day, too, that you interviewed, was it Leslie Visser?
No, weren't you there? No, you were there for Leslie Visser.
Oh, that's right. I was. That's right. Because I took a picture of you. Hello.
Yeah. You were there for Leslie Visser. So, no.
So
it was not.
So if you can, explain what Radio Row is. When we hear Radio Row, you think of, you know, two rows of radio stations, down a big hallway or something. But try to explain what Radio Row looked like at Dallas.
Well, it is row after row after row of radio stations from all across the country and even some foreign countries that come there. And they cram me into one of the ballrooms at the hotel or the conference center at the hotel. And it's basically a table, a folding table, like if we were to go out and do a live broadcast or remote, and you have your area there, and you're pretty much stacked on top of each other, mm-hmm. row after row. But then kind of in the middle of the ballroom is the big setup for the NFL Network for, like, TV.
Right.
They've got a big setup in the middle, a huge set, and it looks all fancy, decked out, and all that.
Sure.
And maybe a couple of the other big ones, ESPN.
Jim Rome.
Jim Rome has one. Jim Rome had one at the far end, but he took up a big space, big elevated stage, and it was all decked out. Otherwise, you know, if we're just peons like me, you know, you get a folding table, you put your banner up on it, and you set up all your equipment, and you have at it. And people are coming and going, and it's always buzzing. It's always buzzing. It, you know, it's buzzing until about maybe 10 o'clock at night with a lot of the evening shows, and then it kind of tapers off, and maybe there's only just a few shows in there that are live overnight, probably like CBS Sports Radio, ESPN Radio, the networks that stations carry the syndicated programming. Maybe then there's only just a few shows going live. And then I also remember that when I'd show up for the morning, you know, we were in Dallas. It was still the central time zone, but I had to drive. I mean, I'd get down to Radio Row probably 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, when we got there, we'd get there really early because you're always paranoid. Is the equipment working? Did anything happen overnight?
Right.
You know, is the phone line working? Is the internet working? So there's always these, you know, you want to get there early in case you have to troubleshoot something. And as you know, when you got there and you were there Thursday and Friday morning and stuff, it's pretty quiet in the morning. It didn't really pick up until, I would say, 8 o'clock in the morning,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, 8 or 9. By 9, everything's kind of cranking. But, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, as the day goes on, more and more people, because who gets up that early, right? Only the people that are working really get up that early.
Yeah.
People that are hawking their stuff, they're not up that early.
Right, that's right, right, right.
But it's also, I think, important to note that you were there by yourself, so we had the equipment that we had to bring, that you had to bring with us in order to make the broadcast happen, was something that probably you weren't terribly familiar with. So I know you had photographs of how everything had to be hooked up and everything. Then we took pictures of it after we set it up back at the station at home before you went, so you could compare it and everything just to get set up.
Yeah. So that happened on Sunday. You're right about that. So the engineering department, and at that time it was Brian Stenzel and Stosh, John Soloski, those guys kind of in promotions, and not engineering, but promotions, but they also did a lot of stuff for remote broadcasting and stuff. As you said, we set up the whole system back here at the station, took pictures of how everything went together, and then it was like engineering for dummies, you know.
Right.
That they put a book together, you know, plug in the unit and make sure it turns on, and, you know. They really dumbed it down for me, which was very helpful. So then I flew out Sunday to Dallas, got there, went down to Radio Row Sunday, picked up our credentials. I believe I even picked up yours. I don't recall if that was the case.
I had to get mine when I got there.
Oh, you had to get your own. Okay, but I picked up my credential, went down to Radio Row, and then set up all the equipment, and then we were testing it to make sure that we had connectivity and everything was working Sunday afternoon into Sunday evening. And then, of course, the first show was Monday morning.
Yeah, and once that hurdle was crossed, the hardest part for you being by yourself was trying to be on the air, doing the show, and set up interviews and everything at the same time. So that was, I know, like, you know, head on a swivel, all that kind of stuff.
The trying to spin the plates, you know, to down there by yourself. It was it was my second Super Bowl. I went to the Super Bowl in Minneapolis in 1991, Washington and Buffalo. But I didn't have to do any of that stuff. I didn't broadcast live from down there. I wasn't on Radio Row. I worked in the area at that time, but I wasn't on Radio Row. But I went to the Super Bowl. I went to some of the press conferences and stuff like that, and covered it from that aspect. But I didn't go down to Radio Row. So I would imagine from 91 to 2010/11, it would have changed a lot too. That was 20 years, right?
Yeah.
So it was a huge learning experience. And because what I learned being down there by myself brought that back to the station, and so when the Packers were on the cusp of going to Super Bowls since then, we've always had this game plan. We knew we had to have more people down there. We had to have somebody come down there that would kind of be designated to be the booker, so to speak,
right,
to make arrangements and stuff, because it was so difficult to do by yourself. So we have a new plan going forward if the Packers would just stop screwing us.
Right, exactly. We got it all figured out. Now we just got to...
Exactly.
Get to find a team that can get us back there. So you did all the heavy lifting for the first 3 days. Meanwhile, I was back here doing the stuff at the station and getting connected with you. And then I traveled on Wednesday. No issues getting down there. Flew out of Appleton. No problems. And I arrived in Dallas. I don't remember what time. It was dark out. I know that. So it was in the early evening, but wasn't too late, and waited for you to come pick me up in that fancy rental car we had.
That all that was missing was steer horns on the front hood.
Oh, that was a sweet ride for sure.
Oh, my goodness.
And you were mad at me because I had all my winter gear and you were freezing your arse off.
Yes.
But then we got back to the hotel, and then things really got going Thursday and Friday because that's when more and more celebrities, A-listers, started showing up Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, it builds through the course of the week. It really does. It builds. Also, another thing I learned is don't book too far in advance guests, authors, lesser-known people. You know, they'll want to book on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then if you do that and you honor your commitment to them, you miss out on some grade A
stuff. Yeah, you're sitting there talking to Joe Schmo, who wrote a book and stuff, and the guy next to you is talking to Joe Montana.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was that's a lesson learned.
Another lesson learned.
That I'll book you from Monday and Tuesday. After that, all bets are off. Wednesday it starts to ramp up, and Thursday and Friday it's your head's on a is spinning because you're like, that's not, that's Sugar Ray, that's John Elway, you know, that's Joe Montana, that's Deacon Jones, that's look over here.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
Adam Sandler. That's it's not just athletes, it's movie stars, supermodels, as we said, they come by too.
Yep. So, yep. You got it. All right, so I'm there Wednesday night. I'm there Thursday morning. We'll pick it up tomorrow, and we'll start with the hotel breakfast selection, and then what happened once we got over to Radio Row. So that'll be tomorrow on the Bill and Rookie podcast. We'll see you then. Thanks for listening, and join us each and every weekday morning at 6 a.m. for the Bill and Rookie Experience on Sports Radio 107.5 and 1400 The Fan.